Joining me now from Florence Arts, Culture, and Entertainment is Rachel Pearson and Kirk Malinick. Good
morning
to you.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, George.
I tell you, I am excited because after the Winter Music Festival, you guys had booked another great band. Tell me a little bit about John Reichman and the Jaybirds.
I'll let Kirk handle that part because he knows more about the world of bluegrass, but I'll chime in as appropriate.
Okay. Kirk?
Yes, George. This is a really high-powered, traditional and somewhat progressive bluegrass band at the same time. A lot of these folks hail from Canada, the British Columbia area specifically. We have one Seattle-based gentleman. And they've been around a while. And Rachel can tell you about John Reichman's history back in the day in the Bay Area, actually, where he spent some time with the Good Old Persons, with Kathy Kallick and some others. John and his band were here several years ago as part of the Winter Music Festival. And he is a beloved mandolin master, a beloved teacher, a great songwriter, a great band leader, a very gentle soul, and he plays one of the famous old Lloyd Lore Gibson mandolins, probably worth $250,000 these days on the open market.
Wow, that's a hefty mandolin there.
It truly is.
Now, you mentioned to me before we went on the air that John kind of reached out to you guys.
Yes, you know, because they had been here about 3 years ago for the Winter Music Festival, they were on the bill the same night that Kathy Kallick's band was here as part of the festival, he has stayed in touch. And in fact, last year, about midsummer or so, he reached out to me and said, Kirk, I'm putting a tour together for the fall. Was it possible we could come back and play the Florence Event Center because we had such a good time at your festival and you all treated us so well? Well, then things kind of went silent and that fall tour did not work out. But then he popped up and said, hey, we are putting something together for early 2023. Is there any chance? And so that's when Rachel got involved and they struck a deal. And we're just really pleased, first of all, that they had a good time when they were here and that they think enough of us to want to come back.
So what's the date for this event coming up?
St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. So it'd be a good date night for certain people who have spouses or others who like music and want to go out that night.
Well, there's something about bluegrass and Irish that go together, too.
Correct. The instruments are basically the same, and the influences are the same. There's a lot of overlap there that you don't think about because it's not all Patty in the pub kind of stuff.
Well, if you spent time in the mountains of North Carolina like I have, you definitely see the similarities between the Irish music and bluegrass.
Exactly. So John is exciting for so many reasons. All that Kirk said and more. Having Kathy Kallick's band and John's band here several years ago together was a magic combination. John and the Jaybirds opened for Kathy. And then they played, and then they all got on stage together. So that was 10 very high-powered people that obviously wanted to play together. And that night was rather magical because I think Kathy was channeling Mother Maybelle Carter. And it was kind of a circle be unbroken moment. I don't think they played that song together, but it felt that way.
But you don't get many of those when groups like that get on stage.
They all get along together, they want to play together, they've known each other, and everybody in the audience had the shivers.
Mm. Wow, I missed that one, though.
Well, I don't miss this one.
No, I won't, I'll tell you. And tickets are how much for this event?
$27. Still lots of great seats available, and as always, the acoustics at the Event Center are fantastic. That's why our artists always want to come back again year after year. They are surprised at how nice it is, how intimate it is, yet large enough to have a full-scale concert, and all the technical details are taken care of for them.
I think it plays pretty well to bluegrass, too, the acoustics in there.
It really does. Yes, and one of the things that Rachel's organization is proud of is having contributed to the new sound system that is there, in addition to the sound desk.
How new?
Within the last 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that was a nice hefty expense. We could use some of our net proceeds, too, to benefit. You know, because when you go to a venue like that, if the sound quality isn't very good, it tends to taint or color a person's experience. And so, you know, Downbeat that night is at 7:30. We are bringing Aloha Sound back out of the south side of Portland to run sound for us that night. There'll be two 45-minute sets with an intermission in between. And the upright bass player, who is Trisha Gagnon, is known for her homemade jams and jellies. I think some of those might be on sale at the intermission.
Oh, right.
That would be fantastic. We could even have samples. And yes, they will be selling their albums together and solo albums. These people, each and every one of them could have a show and put on a show that would be worthy of the ticket price. But together, they're going to be dynamite.
It's absolutely true. You know, he plays as part of a quintet. In addition to Trisha, as I mentioned, upright bass, they have an L.A.-based guitar player by the name of Patrick Zauber. And he plays everything, and just so fluid and so dynamic in his guitar playing. And then we have Nick Hornbuckle on the banjo again that night, longtime resident of John's band. And then finally on the fiddle is a Spokane, Washington-based gentleman by the name of Greg Spatz. These are all impresarios in their own right. but they don't go off to these crazy places in a selfish music sort of way. They're really playing to the audience, and it is exponentially better when the five of them are together.
Wow, sounds like a great mm-hmm. show that you got lined up.
It will be, and they, as you know, or maybe not everybody knows, so I'll mention it now, you can get light refreshments at the new hole-in-the-wall concession stand run by the FEC, which is good and getting better. That Derek, the new chef there, is taking on a lot. He's a young guy, and he's learning the business of running a stand as opposed to just being a chef in a restaurant.
So you're saying there'll be a little more than normal?
There will be. We try to work with them, and they work with us to make the festival experience, which this is a concert, but when we did the festival, to try to bring in food that people will want to eat and can eat quickly, mm-hmm. not a sit-down dinner necessarily.
Definitely have to eat quickly.
And then beer and wine is available, or other drinks in covered containers, and you can take those in the theater.
Well, you have to have that for St. Paddy's Day. It's almost a necessity.
I'll bring the green dye if anybody needs it.
I've got a little Irish in me. I know how that works there. So tell me about the Winter Music Festival that just happened. I understand that was a raving success.
It was a pretty wild success. We had, I would say, 90% positive comments in the surveys we did, and just hearing people in the lobby. The comments, the negatives were generally small things. A lot of them were just something wasn't to someone's taste, I wish I could have gone to more stuff.
And George, we did pack things to the hilt this time. We really, you know, because we were able to take over the rest of the real estate, so to speak, the flat floor there. Janet Wellington did a wonderful job of pumping 17 workshops into the schedule. We expanded the musical offerings during the day so each band would have an hour's worth of time. And that put some pinch points into people's schedules a little bit, and so we heard a little bit about that. But I can tell you that longtime residents here in Florence who have gone to most, if not all, of the festivals, people whom I had never met stopped me in the hall, stopped Rachel in the hall, in the lobby, and said, this is the best festival in this festival's history. And so, you know, we're all about the patron. Mm. We're all about rolling out the red carpet for the bands, and we want the patrons to have a good time. And so we sold more than 1,600 tickets.
Wow.
We actually sold out Saturday daytime for the first time, and Friday night, which we've done before, and also Saturday night, and we had more than 200 people in the audience for folk music. And so we're really flying high at this point and feeling really, really good about the 10 months that it took to pull that off. And by the way, you know, your radio station, you yourself, in promoting it, it does take a village, both in terms of financial and in-kind donors. And George, we just appreciate so much that you've done for us over the last year as well.
Well, thank you. Glad to do it. And because you set such a high bar, what does that mean for the next festival?
Well, the next festival.
I know it's planning.
The focus right now is on getting the successful Reichman concert. So we, not that we're going to rest on our laurels and say, yeah, let the next festival take care of itself. There will be a kids concert, definitely. And I want to jump in and say the Kiwanis kids concert was the best in 21 years, because that's been going on longer than the Folk Fest. Yeah. Josh Goforth was amazing. He had the kids in the palm of his hand in the first 5 seconds, and they wrote him love letters saying, Josh, I love you. I love your guitar. I want you to come move here. Now, I think there was some teacher encouragement for second graders, but I want him to move here, too. I wish he lived here and would open a storytelling thing, and we'd like to get him back.
Yeah, we were trying for 5 years to get the gentleman to come out, and for a variety of reasons we couldn't do it, but it happened this time, and it was everything and then some that we'd hoped for, plus what just a fine young man on top mm-hmm. of that.
All right. What else is there to talk about? Anything?
I would just like to focus for a minute on the volunteering opportunities that continue to exist with Florence Arts, Culture, and Entertainment, the organization that Rachel leads as president. Bonnie McDuffie is the treasurer. Ken Janowski is the vice president. Mm-hmm. The treasurer position is begging at the moment, but just yesterday at a meeting when we debriefed about the Winter Music Festival, a resident here in town who happens to live in Klahani, a guy by the name of Ed Boland, showed up. He's an example of somebody coming to the table and being willing to do what we have all been doing and Rachel's been doing for more than 25 years here in town. So to your listening audience, I would just say if this sort of work appeals to you and it's not terribly glamorous, we're not on the radio all the time or anything else or being quoted in the paper necessarily, but we'll just really encourage anybody out there who has the heart of a volunteer to step forward and have a chance to contribute.
And how do they get a hold of you?
They can call the message number for FACE at 541-991-8811. That goes to my cell phone, so I'll talk to them directly.
Okay. Sounds good. I tell you what, looking forward to it. Let's circle back around to dates and times for John Reichman and the Jaybirds.
Correct. Again, it's St. Paddy's Day, March 17th at 7:30 at the Florence Event Center, and that's 715 Gwynn Street. Yeah. And if you're interested in tickets, call them on their phone, 997-1994. Go to their website, eventcenter.org, or stop in.
At the box office, that's right.
There you go. Thank you both for being here today, and good luck on this next show. Sounds like it's going to be a doozy.
Thank you.
Thank you, George.
We'll see you there.
Bob Snedden is up next with Roger Brubaker and Rusha Grinstead talking about behavioral health and suicide prevention on the March edition of Our Town.